This recording, Kansas 8, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. And then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then, Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Ottawa, Kansas, which is a small town just south of here, about 30 miles, and lived there until after I got out of second grade in grade school, and then we moved to Lawrence here. I grew up in Lawrence until middle high school years, and then my family moved to Eudora. Because my parents liked a small town better than a larger town, and larger being relative, Lawrence was probably maybe 50,000 at the time, but they considered that a big town, and they wanted to live in a smaller town. So my last 2 years of high school, we lived in Eudora, and I graduated there with a very small graduating class, 22 kids in the class. And then as soon as I got out of high school, I moved back to Lawrence, and I've basically lived here the rest of my whole life, except my stint in the Army, where I was in Germany for a year and a half after my training here in Lawrence. As I say, one of my favorite work stories was that we had a Native American, one of the mechanics, his name was Henry, and also on the mechanic crew there were several folks that could be classified, if you want to classify people, as redneck in their attitude. And so one day at our morning break, one of the guys kind of got into this rant about the fact that more Middle Eastern people were showing up working in the convenience stores, the 7-Elevens and this. And he is just kind of going on about how every time you turn around, there are more of these towel heads, as he referred to them. And his complaint was that they don't bother to learn to speak English well. And it just seemed like at every turn, there were more and more of them showing up. And so Henry, the Native American, with just a little wry smile, he said, "Well, you know, John," he said, "my people have felt that way about your people for the last 400 years.